That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, first Saturday in December, Saturday, December 6th. But hey, you may hear this Monday night, and keep listening, because when you're listening to Coffee with the Wranglers, you never know which direction it's going to go. You just don't. That's kind of the nature of the beast. Well, good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And boy, that's the Wranglers. And we say good morning to you, Lord Jesus. We know that we're two or more gathered in your name. There you are also, and we do gather in that name. And we also say good morning to you, the remnant. We know that many out there join us from sea to shining sea. And boy, we get emails from and letters from Germany and all over as well, that the broadcasts go out through shortwave and internet. So we say good morning to you as well. Well, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, humbly, Lord, grateful for this time that you've set aside for your people to get together and to discuss the whatever it is that you want discussed. And that's our prayer, Lord, that you would just put it upon our hearts and our minds and our souls to discuss whatever it is that's important to the remnant. Lord, we ask for a special anointing this morning, that's exactly what would happen. Pray for your remnant out there, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and protect them. Ask you to remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Pray for tomorrow's church assembly. or that even now you would make the preparations that need to be made in your people's hearts to receive the things that will be shown to them. Ask for more Holy Spirit. Soften our hearts, Lord. The world tries so hard to harden them all week long, and we have a couple hours a week to try to soften them, concentrate on the things that are important. Lord, draw the fathers back to the children and the children back to their fathers. And strengthen our marriages, Lord. Draw us closer to our wives, the gift that you gave us. Continue to come against the forces of hell, demonic evil ones that come in and they try to cause division. And Lord, we ask that you would remove those hidden reefs in our love feast, and that you would draw us closer together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we would not forsake the assembly. Pray for your continued blessings and protection on this ministry, Lord, your ministry, as well as this little church here in LaPorte. We know that you've protected it all these years, Lord, and we just ask that you would continue to shine your light down upon it and continue to grant grace to those that seek to serve you, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. That's our prayer, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things, and we thank you ahead of time. Amen.
Amen. And amen. It is hard at times to step away from the world and the world's ways and the world's bad news and just, you know, the work. It is hard to do that at times. But I think we have to try to overcome that all the time during the week, especially as we gather together. And really, what a privilege it is to be able to gather with like-minded men. And for whether it's Coffee with the Wranglers or on one of the broadcasts during the week, or even at church on Sunday, it is a true blessing to be able to step away from the world and talk about things of the Word, and not always just things of the world. Seems like everybody out there is always willing to talk about things of the world, whether it's sports or news or, you know, just whatever's going on. You can talk to just about anybody about just about anything in the world except
politics and religion.
Politics and religion. And the politics should be tied in with religion, at least tied in with Christianity.
It's one and the same when you get down to it.
Cause it is.
You end up talking about morality, usually, even though both sides of our government are immoral people. But used to be a little bit more of a decisive separation between the two. One was usually based on Christian right side, and one was based on the left side. Now they're both left, just one's more left than the other.
Yeah, both of them left to center. Don't know if you got to listen into Gideon's Armory last night. I caught about two-thirds of it on my iPhone. And don't always have the best cell service out here, but it's better than shortwave up at the house. And Jason, you had an interesting soundbite there, that news soundbite with whoever that was. Not Rand.
Yeah, Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. And talking about how the House, I guess, passed a big resolution, and over 400 people voted for this resolution. It was some anti-Russian thing. And he said nobody read it. Maybe 11 or 12 people read it, and those were the people that voted against it. But the other people, he said, nobody read it. They just went along with the crew, went along with the crowd. And You know, it reminded me of the teaching in the Bible of the blind leading the blind. And then, Jason, you had a good point about that, you know, maybe they weren't blind. Maybe they didn't have to read it. Maybe they just knew what was in it and were voting for it just because they're of that evil, wicked seed. I think you were making comments along that line.
Yeah, well, and even since we talked about it, basically it was House Resolution Bill 758, and it was passed on the 4th. You know, I mean, it's basically, it's saber-rattling against, it's more than saber-rattling against Russia. It's a declaration of war to a degree. Now, like a lot of people are saying that, you know, it's the beginning of the saber-rattling, but it is definitely saber-rattling. I mean, you know, when you come out and, you know, pass a House bill or House resolution that says, we disapprove of Putin and the way that he's dealing with neighboring countries. You know, that's an act of war. You know, so what? Big deal. You know, he's the president of their country. You know, we shouldn't be dictating to what they can do in their country. But the interesting thing is, last night we were talking about, you know, it's like, okay, well, was it the blind leading the blind? Was it, you know, we tend to make excuses. Oh, they're dumb. They didn't read the bill. They don't know what was in it. They just passed it. You know, things along that line. And, you know, what if they did know what was in that bill? What if they did read it? What if they, know exactly what it said? And I had some emails come in last night that were pretty interesting, that was basically saying that you know, they want some of those neighboring countries, you know, as far as the those that are of the synagogue of Satan. And you know, that we got to look at that unseen third party and see exactly, okay, where you know, where is it coming from. And I think that and I'm pretty confident that that's what's taking place.
Makes sense. It does. You know, we've learned from our pastor over the years that usually there is that unseen third party saying, hey, you two fight. And we know who that unseen third party is. Don't we, Kyle?
Yeah, it was.
We do.
And I mean, it's you know, we talked about, there's, you know, tons of articles that you can find out there now that were basically this, you know, saying that this drop in oil price was a war against Russia. And, you know, it's, you know, trying to drop it because, you know, of all the exports of Russian oil, that, you know, basically it's a financial war. But, you know, the interesting thing is okay, I don't know where people are at, because right now we're producing more oil here than Saudi Arabia, than Russia here in the United States. You know, that hurts us just as bad, if not worse. I mean, with the shale oil boom that we've had in the United States, you know, when oil falls to $65 a barrel, that is huge. You know, that doesn't just affect Russia. That affects us here.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just that you see gasoline dropping a little bit. You can tell it's manipulated because, you know, gasoline hit $1.99 a gallon in Oklahoma City this past week. But diesel's still $3.60. You know, so you can see that it's chess moves. It's just the manipulation that these powers that be play around with it. Well, hey, the phone line's ringing. Let me get the buttons pushed here, and we'll take a caller early today. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Something that maybe you should know about the situation going on with the Ukraine. I don't know how many people know this, but you know, the Ukraine and the Crimea, especially, was originally white homeland. At the time, you know, previous to, this was the area that was the transitional area where the various 10 tribes went into when they came north of the Caucasus Mountains, and they were there for a long, long time until they got pushed out by the Huns. The Crimea, in fact, was the first place, I believe, that where the Russian people that came in there, down into there later, accepted Christianity. Now there's the situation where, well, who were the Huns? The Huns was this group of nomadic people that were a mixture between Oriental and white that traveled back and forth across those, you know, the steppes of Russia. For centuries, they were attacking China. That's why China built the Great Wall, to keep the Huns out. And after enough fighting with China, they finally turned and came to the west and started attacking Europe. And they, you know, the area around the Black Sea was inhabited by one of the tribes that was at that time called the Goths, G-O-T-H-S, and some other Germanic tribes. The Huns pushed them out of that area. The whole area that is now called Turkey was also white Euro, what we call Euro, or Indo-European. The whole peninsula area, or, you know, part of the continent that's called Turkey, was belonging to our people. And that's where Paul was going into and doing a lot of his ministering during that time. But see, that fell to the Huns also. They pushed them out of there. And those people then moved west, further west into Europe, up into Austria, and some of them up north towards Estonia and Latvia, Lithuania. But the majority of those Goths went into northern Italy and across northern Italy into northern Spain, southern Germany. But the people that took the area from them, the Huns, there were various different tribes of the Huns. And one of those tribes is the Khazars. Now the Turks were one of the Hun tribes. The Turks took over that whole area that is now called Turkey, inhabited, took it away from the white people that had it. The Crimea was taken away and inhabited by various of these Hun tribes. There was seven or eight or more of the Hun tribes. I said the Khazars were one of those. Khazars inhabited the area north of the Black Sea, extending over towards, you know, towards the, all the way over to the Volga.
Right.
And then that is the group of people that later adopted Judaism. Now, this area with that is now the Ukraine and Kiev especially was not inhabited by Khazars. It was Slavs, even at that time, that were still there, but the Khazars were making them pay tribute. So now, of course, those various different peoples fled out of there later when the Mongols came across. They fled into Poland and up into Lithuania and various other places. But so now we have this contention over the Ukraine, and you have a lot of people saying, well, that's the ancient Khazar homeland. Well, it's no more their homeland than it is our homeland. That's where all the Germanic tribes came from before they moved into Europe, or
right,
were forced into Europe by the invasion of the Huns. It's a funny thing that they always, there's so many times you can see this repeat of things going on in history where they call you what they are. You know, during World War One, you know, what was the big thing that they were calling the Germans? The Huns. Well, the Germans aren't Huns. The Khazars are Huns. They're one of the Hun tribes. So now we have this takeover of the Ukraine, and what do we see happening? They're arming it to the teeth. they built the world's largest center for Judaism in the Ukraine 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's humongous. It's ridiculously huge. For the
well, you're right. We see
people that were there.
You're right. We see a repeat of history, and that's one of the things that our enemy uses against us. Is a repeat of history. Well, we're going to move on. Hey, we appreciate the call and the little mini history lesson. It's we are doomed to repeat history if we don't learn from it. And you're right. It's as much of our people that have come through there as the others. Hey, thanks a lot.
But the thing that we got to get in mind here is they're using this area to play the 10 tribes against one another.
Yeah, nothing new under the sun.
The Slavic tribes in Russia against the other tribes over here and the tribes in Europe, and they're all look at what they're doing with all the sanctions and everything. This is actually you know, while it appears to be a war on Russia, while it appears to be a sanctions on Russia, it's actually weakening Europe and the United States without you really seeing what it's doing, because it is doing it. It's doing a terrible hurting on Europe. But why, you know, and at the same time they're flooding Europe with Arabs.
Yes. Yeah, they are absolutely destroying it. So, well, again, hey, sure appreciate it. Thanks for the call. And I want to offer this. We carry along these same lines a little map. And it's called The Reformation of Israel in the West. And if you're not familiar with some of the terms our caller was using, the Goths and terms like that, and if you're not familiar with the story, the true history story, of what do you mean the people coming through the Caucasus Mountains and things like that? Well, we have, this is it's a placemat size. What is that, about 11 by 17, Kyle?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And we've reprinted it. Over the years, I think it was maybe Pastor Schott up in the Northwest that originally kind of was working on it and putting it together. And years ago, we spoke with him and reprinted it and have a little Bible story, a little migration story on the back of it that gives you an overview of this migration, of the history of our people, of where they came from in 740 to 721 BC, the 10 tribes taken into captivity, and their names there, and where they moved. And it's just a little map, and it shows the dates, the time periods, and the names. The Scythians, the Goths, Cimbri, the Norsemen, and the Saxons, and the Angles. And anyway, so we have it. We'll send it to you free of charge if you'd like it. If you write to us or call and ask for it. It's called the migration map. It's just a small one. Now we've got a nice laminated one that goes on the wall. That's $10 or $15. But this kind of gets the point across. And we have people that get them and just hand them out. And it's
yeah. Talking to Brother Bill that does the gun shows. That's one of the things that really piques people's interest. And gets them looking into their true biblical heritage. That's probably one of the best tools that, at a glance, sparks interest.
Yeah. We had this blown up onto a, what do you call it, almost like a billboard, you know, about 8 feet by 6 feet. And we were at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We paid to have a booth there several years ago. And about 10 years ago now, and we had this up on the wall, and it looked pretty neat. You know, people, there's 300 or 400 exhibitors used to be there anyway, and so we had this up on the wall, and people would walk by and look at it, and, oh, that's kind of interesting, you know, a map and this and different names. And I remember one old, you know, what, biddy came up, and she started looking at that and pulled her glasses on and started looking at that, and she had a few choice curse word sources. She walked off. You know, of course, she had a big honking nose, and she was one of the Antichrist. And she didn't want anything to do with this, because she knew. Mm-hmm. She knew it was true.
Probably one of those Khazars that
probably
Bob was talking about.
Yeah. One of those Khazars that Bob was talking about. So we have it. We'll be glad to send it to you, because that's our job, is to get this truth out. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And just write us, send us an email and say, hey, send me that Reformation of Israel in the West, the little placemat size map. And if you're not familiar with this, you should be. And again, the pastor had a little, worked on a little reprint on the back that just shows and tells, like it says, a short history in a nutshell of the dispersion. And it ties in, you know, this is a tool that ties in, I think it's there with the beginning of James. Greetings to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. Well, this tells you where a lot of them were dispersed. And it takes you from their tribal name to where they went. Anyway, it is a good tool in understanding
this
the
stuff
Anglo-Israel
message. You know, you get some of those old family Bibles. They usually have, especially the old ones, they usually have sections where, you know, Christ traveled or the Apostle Paul traveled. I mean, it used to be interesting for people to understand their history. The society and the unseen third party has kind of discredited it and eliminated. When you apply for a job anymore, is there a Caucasian checkbox anymore like there used to be, or have they did away with that Caucasian thing completely, or does anybody know?
No, it's still there.
It is?
I haven't applied for a job.
I haven't either.
So, but I can tell you another application or forms you have to fill out for, without getting too specific, that yes, they do have a now for Caucasian, and then now they also want to know if you're Hispanic or non-Hispanic in that Caucasian term, because they kind of have that. I've noticed, you know, on certain forms that you do have to fill out. And you're right. This used to be common knowledge. This was knowledge throughout the rise of the English Empire, you know, when they were all across when it said that the sun never set on the English Empire from India to everywhere else. This was common knowledge. It was common knowledge when this land of America was settled.
On the job applications, it's more about affirmative action. It's more about giving the minorities an advantage than it is anything else, I believe. Because once that's on there, most job applications get red stamped. Basically, where if you're in a position of authority for hiring, you cannot hire them until you have HR's permission, because there's a protected class, they call it.
So you check that one box that says Caucasian on it, and you're pretty much saying you're not going to get that job, huh?
You're going to move regardless of your qualifications, you're going to move to the bottom of the list. And we have seen that, and that's one of the things that's... Go ahead, John.
Put it this way. Depends. If you're in prayer about the job for the Lord's will to be done, then he can supersede all of Babylon.
Yes.
And it's happened time after time. But, I mean, I've told people who've applied for jobs that I'm, you know, somewhat responsible for. I said, if you want this job, you better pray that the Lord's will be done. And for the most part, most of them have made it through the process. And it's because of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we have to remember, sometimes he'll answer that prayer as no.
Yeah, he won't want you to go to work for a certain company.
Right. And I'm not saying you're where you're at, John.
Right.
But you know, that's how it is sometimes.
You gotta be protected.
Yeah, sometimes we think, oh, this is what I really want to do, and it's really not. Maybe not the idea.
Well, he's got something better for you.
That's right.
Yes, another
absolutely.
Plan. Absolutely.
Hey, let's try the phone lines.
But anyways, it's nice to be able to, I mean, you have to realize that greater is he that is for us than those that are against us, no matter what comes against us.
Amen. Hey, let's try the phone lines. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. It's Tom in Texas.
Good morning, Tom. Hey, got a cup on here. Let me pour you a little bit.
Great. That was an interesting history lesson. I was looking at that, thinking of it. And, I sent an email to Jason about that has the map with where Japheth's descendants ended up, which would be all in that area, which is the peoples named in Genesis 10, 2, and 3, Gomer, Magog, and so on. Those names are also listed in Ezekiel 38, but what he's saying is that, well, I looked up the term, the word Gog in the Hebrew lexicon, and in word number 1463, it means of uncertain derivation. Gog isn't listed in as Japheth's descendant. So what he's saying is actually true and holds water to say that, you know, that they may have been described that in Ezekiel 38, but they're describing a territory.
Right.
Of in relation to those people, because Gog is an I don't know, it would appear that the Israelites weren't knowledgeable of who those people were. So not any more than the Jews are Israelites, nor are they also, neither are they actually Japheth's descendants.
Yeah, in Revelation it talks about it's a symbol of a godless nation is how the mm-hmm. is how the how it ends up, how the story ends up, so to speak. So
that definitely is that was a really interesting. You put that together where the they've the Huns pushed the Japheth's descendants out and other Caucasians yeah. that and Israelites that settle in that area.
Amen.
Very good.
Hey Tom, thanks for the call. We'll try to get this other caller on.
Thank you. God bless you all. Bye.
And you.
Thanks, Tom.
And got another caller here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Thank you, Richard. This is Kenneth from Louisiana. You know, the children of the devil have their own prophets. A communist Jew named Israel Cohen once stated that we must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension, and propounded into the conscience of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them in the program of the Communist Party. And pretty much that's what it looks like we're seeing today. There's not going to be a race war on white folks because there's already a war on white folks. Black on white crime is 90% of all interracial crime. And the serpents have done a good job of directing the criminal element of the black race on our people. But guys, let me say this. Consider this. The next major terrorist attack, according to Jeremiah 10:10 and Proverbs 18, might be from the Christian God Jesus Christ himself. He's the one we should fear. He's the ultimate terrorist to the workers of iniquity. Anybody care to comment on that?
You're right.
You're absolutely right.
And whether he's the next one or not, it's going to happen. Yep.
Absolutely. That's right. All right. Fair enough.
Thank you. He's absolutely right there. To the, I remember the pastor bringing that out, you know, about the true terrorist. And to the workers of iniquity, to those that live and practice their sin, to those like I think it says in Matthew, the depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, to those that practice lawlessness, that think about it, that purposely, well, whether they do or not, but they turn away from God and his ways and his son Jesus Christ. And
I don't know the exact definition of terrorist, but I'm sure it has something to do with putting terror into you.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a great and terrible day coming, and it's going to be terrorists for some. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or many.
You look at just what happened in D.C. just a couple of weeks ago, where the National Cathedral, they pulled the pews out, and they set up prayer rugs, and they had a Islamic service in there with an imam. And then even worse than that, right after lunch, they actually invited a Muslim imam to open up in prayer before the House of Representatives met, and they were bowing their head as they prayed to Allah. And then there are a bunch of lying deceivers, which we know, but you go to the website of the senator, I can't remember his name, but anyways, who actually petitioned to have this imam come in, obviously a Muslim, and you look at, they had the prayer that was supposedly to be said at the bottom of his website. Every time he used Allah, they put the name God. So, they're, but you can see, just like we've talked about.
Talk about blasphemy.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's exactly what it is.
Exactly. And they bowed their heads to him. But all you really have to do is remember how many Roman Catholics are in positions of authority within the government. There's not a whole lot of difference between the Roman Catholics and Islam. Right. One worships Lady Fatima, the other worships Mary, but they're, you know, they've intertwined those two religions, and hope to expound on that a little bit tomorrow. So,
well, John, the Pope went to Turkey last week, and he put out to everybody that, you know, hey, the Muslims are not violent people. Islam is a religion of peace. And so, and that's as he was in Turkey, and as he took his shoes off when he walked into the mosque, and as he went with all the rest of the Islamic people that were there and the Muslims and turned toward the east and prayed toward Mecca.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've been doing, I know, a lot of research along those lines and bringing a lot of that this past year in some scriptural insights. And we're seeing a history. We are seeing this attempt at uniting the world's religions under one.
Against Mother Whore Babylon, calling back.
That's right.
Against the true Christians.
Against the true Christians.
And it's Psalms 83. All God's enemies coming together against God and his children.
Yep. It is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you can see, too, that, you know, even a couple of years ago, that wouldn't have happened in this country. Mm-hmm. But as morality and as the true Christians continue to fall towards the Church of Laodicea, God's pulling back the protection, that Holy Spirit. And, you know, that door to salvation is closing. And those people will be sealed, both the righteous and the wicked. And that, I don't think it's that far off, that day where God will seal it. And that's, you know, the door to salvation will be closed.
Yeah, we're told time and time again to work while it's day. And at least for now, it's still day. And so we still... excuse me, we still have work to do in getting this gospel message out, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also trying to open the remnant's eyes to the lies that are out there, like this Roman Catholic Church.
But, I mean, it's so blatant anymore. You know, they used to try to hide these things, but right now they're just, I mean, it's full force Antichrist, remove God from everything possible. You know, and that's got nothing to do with acceptance or tolerance. That's an act of war, and it's spiritual warfare, and we better wake up.
Yeah, you're right. And they cannot hide it now because Christianity on a whole is just a bunch of wussies out there that won't stand up for what they say they believe in, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they've even change the entire tent by using that term Judeo-Christianity. That's that.
Right.
That's that spell. The people don't realize if they say they're a Judeo-Christian or they follow a Judeo-Christian ethic, they are under a spell from Satan.
Of course, they don't realize they're under a spell.
Right, but they don't realize it. But they are. They're under a spell with Judaism denying Christ and Christianity based on Jesus Christ being the Son of God, His Word that says no man. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, the Son. Nobody. The Pope, me, nobody. And, you know, when our enemy, the enemies of Christ, as the Bible defines the Antichrist, those that deny that Jesus is the Christ, they have come in and they have put their religion, they have put Judaism ahead of Christianity. In just in that term. And they tie the knot. And they put the people in a spell. We have a booklet the pastor did called A Double-Minded People. And again, if you're not familiar with these terms and what we're talking about, we'll send that to you for free. You write to us. A Double-Minded People. And it explains right from the scriptures this spell that the people are put under. But it also tells you how you can get out of it, how you get out of the spell. And
very rare to actually find true Protestants anymore. They've all become lukewarm and given into political correctness and acceptance and tolerance. And
yeah, a true Protestant separates themselves from all those other religions and all and everything that's going on in the world. And you're right, it's hard to find. Yeah.
Well,
but there's only going to be a remnant. So
that's right. That's right. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have another comment you'd like to call in, and you know, I many of us know the 23rd Psalm. Oh, you know, it's read at funerals. But it is, as David was a warrior, a type of Christ, it is a warrior psalm as well. It's not just for reading at the graveside. You know, it really isn't. When you read in there that it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, that rod and staff, that is the authority. That represents the authority that Jesus Christ has. And he has all authority. He has authority over everything. And so, you know, we may see times, further times. I mean, we're in, like you said, John, we are in war now. But we're not to fear. We're not to fear. We fear no evil. And when we fear no evil, when we don't fear what the enemies do, that's a sign. You know, it's a sign of salvation for us, and it's a sign of destruction for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are told throughout the Bible that I fear no evil, because who do we fear? We fear God. We fear him. We fear not the one that can kill the body, but the one that can kill the soul,
cast you into hell.
That's who we fear.
Yeah.
And that's who we revere. Kyle and I were talking about that this week. You know, my when we were younger and teenagers and whatnot, you know, I told Kyle, I said, you know, when I was 15, 16, 17 and out driving and out and about, you know, I knew I had to be home by 11 o'clock. And, you know, it wasn't just out of love for my father that I made sure I was home by 11 o'clock. I feared his big black belt. And it was that fear. I feared the punishment for breaking the law, so to speak. You know, and that got me home by 11 o'clock most of the time anyway.
Ecclesiastic 12, 13, and 14. The duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And if you're saying you feared your dad and you were going to keep his commandment, getting home by 11, or you were going to
pay the
you were going to have some price to pay.
That's right.
Know? And sometimes, and, you know, it might be a lecture, and sometimes it might
usually
be a belt.
Usually, you know? It was that belt,
and because he loved you,
right? And it's that way now. It is that way in our relationship to God. If we do that, we fear him. Now, I love my dad more than anybody else in the world, but I feared him too. And, you know, we're made in his image. And you have people out there that say, oh, we don't fear God. No, we love him. We honor, we revere him. Yeah, we do all that.
They
but
go together.
Just like John brought out in with the Book of Life, you better fear him enough to do what he says to get your name written in that Book of Life.
Which has to do with love. I mean,
absolutely.
They go right together.
He tells you. You know, my dad loved me. That's why he said be home at 11. He knew I didn't have any business being out after 11. I might get in with the wrong crowd. I'd be out with the drunks are driving around more after 11 than before. The police are more than likely to pull you over. You know, he knew it was because he loved me that he said you be in by 11. You know, and you'll pay the consequences with me if you don't, just like with them. And it's that way with our Heavenly Father. He says, listen, you better fear. That's our duty. That's what we're here for. But, you know, that doesn't do away with John 3:16, that he so loved us that he sent his only Son to redeem us, to buy us back.
Amen.
307-745-5913. And I really wasn't even going to go to Psalm 23. I told John earlier I had Psalms 25 kind of on my mind. But Psalms 23 is right across the page, and That kind of came to mind with the war that we're in. We have to remember that, that his rod and staff does comfort us.
Pastor it's Peters did a CD authority. Or tape back then, but Psalms 23. It's a great CD.
Yeah.
If you're not aware of what Richard's talking about, this being a war psalm,
yeah.
Get that CD. It's great.
And we have a book entitled that, War Psalms of the Prince of Peace. The pastor found it years ago and had to start carrying it because it's a, you know, it starts out in that mamby-pamby Judeo-Christianity world. Oh, how can we have the love of Christ and love our enemies and still read these psalms? Oh, God, wipe them out, you know, destroy them all. How can and this guy brings them together and says yes, and he does a good point. Now, it's certainly not from an Anglo-Israel message or background, but he shows that, yeah, we love our neighbor as ourself when our neighbor is our neighbor, and we do love our enemy and pray for our enemy and give them a drink of water if that's what they need. Doesn't mean they're God's enemy, but when they're our enemy, maybe not for God's enemy. But he reconciles that and brings it together in a, I think that's why the pastor liked it, because he does it in a way that at times our pastor did, you know, could when you first see some scriptures that seem conflicting, they're not. The problem's in our mind, in our thought processes, in the way we think, in our understanding. The conflict is not in the Word. Well, as my buddy from South Africa, when he calls sometimes, Louis, he calls up and we'll talk a couple times a year, and English is a second language for him and his family. They're Dutch Boers, however you say that. And he gets to the point and he says, "Well, my 2,000 words are up. That's all I get. So my throat's kind of getting congested. So I'm going to back off. And you guys got the next 10 minutes here." So,
yeah, I guess Hobby Lobby was working on a Bible curriculum class that was supposed to be introduced into the Mustang School District in Mustang, Oklahoma. And our good buddies from Freedom From Religion Foundation ended up coming against that and got it canceled. And I guess the thing people don't realize really is this freedom from religion, it's got nothing to do with religion. It's all about Christianity, because these antichrists know it's nothing but the true Christians who will not bow their knee to Baal that can bring them down in prayer. And this, I don't know, it just shows that we've become naive as people.
Yeah, we don't even see a great big weed that's sticking its head up, you know, as a people. I mean, we
right.
see it, but yeah. I mean, they're those brazen people you've talked about before that just, I mean, it's ready for the big
sickle.
Sigh to come down, the sickle to come down and
it's coming.
Cut their head off. Yep.
It's coming. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Hello, men.
Good morning.
I wanted to... You had mentioned a minute or so ago that war psalm. What is it? It's a book or like a pamphlet? I don't have it.
It's a book. War Psalms of the Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. Prince
war
of
psalms.
Peace. Okay.
Yeah.
I was reading in Ezekiel last month, I think, and I wrote this down. Not Ezekiel. Numbers. Chapter 21, verse 14. It mentions the book of the wars of the Lord. I wondered if that was if that had been mentioned in any of the literature pertaining to that. And I did a little bit of a search online, and it seems that there was a man. He was the Bishop of Durham in England, His name was Joseph Barber Lightfoot, and he was associated with the works of Westcott and Hort, it seems. And he says that the Book of the Wars of the Lord is, in fact, the Book of Jasher. And
makes sense.
I looked up the Book of the Wars of the Lord, and just in those words online, and it one of the things that came up was the fact that in chapter 90, verse 48 of the Book of Jasher, it's mentioned there. I just wanted to put that little thing out.
Where was that in Numbers?
Maybe you guys had run across this.
You know,
sort of kind of interesting.
You know, Joe, I haven't. I mean, and isn't that great about the living word, that you see things that are there that you haven't seen before? And that's Numbers 21:14. I can guarantee you we'll be looking into that a little bit more. Mm. Yeah.
And it goes to prove what Pastor Peters taught, and that is that it might do us well to not only read the Bible, but read it audibly, however you do. You know, maybe you whisper it to yourself in a quiet room. But I do believe that was how I saw that little phrase, the Book of the Wars of the Lord, is because I started doing that.
Okay, faith comes by hearing.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. You're right. If you speak it, you get a lot more out of reading the Bible than you do if you just read it and you don't speak it.
Much of the verbiage just goes past you when you're just thinking the phrase and instead of saying it.
Right.
Well,
Joe, thanks so much.
Have a good Saturday, you guys, and a better one tomorrow, and we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Got one more caller here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is something we discussed last night. Jason, I guess you got that link from Tom for that video. There's a part one and part two, and they come from a Canadian TV program. And I would suggest on both part one and part two that you skip the first 40 seconds, because they're little flashes of images of things they've done on previous programs. It's the Human Edge or something like that. And it's not something you particularly want to watch. But once you get to that 40-second mark, they start the show. It's quite informative. But
okay, I'll appreciate that.
Yeah, I was
thinking. Have you watched the whole thing on that?
Sorry?
Have you watched the whole thing on both parts, the part one and part two?
I did some time ago, and I was looking at a lot of it again this morning. It lays it out quite well. I'm surprised they got away with doing that on Canadian TV, considering what's happened to people like Ernst Zindel and people like that up in Canada, you know. It pretty well names the enemy. I was thinking about something, a little brief discussion I had over the phone with a godly woman who is known to all of you, that about a lesson that her son had to learn, and I was thinking afterward that it's a lesson that at his age, God probably wouldn't have wasted his time at that point in my life with that particular lesson. And you know, Richard, you were talking about this discipline and this molding of sons and daughters, young people. And I think that's a lot of that is a realization that once you reach adulthood, if you serve to serve our God, there's no force there. There's no spells. There's no cords that bind or anything. I think our God wants people who truly love Him and do it voluntarily, and that's the way the ministry of Jesus Christ was.
Yes.
As opposed to the other side. You know, and that's probably a good explanation of what this law of liberty means. I mean, you are free to serve Him. With that other side, the pastor used to talk about Pinocchio. I was looking at that segment where he gets out of Pleasure Island. He had to escape. You know, he didn't have to escape Geppetto. But you know, it's bond. It's you're bound by taxes or war or spells or indoctrination, or, you know, as opposed to the liberty of our Lord.
Yeah, we've said it before. You're either going to we're all slaves. You're either going to be a slave to sin and corruption, or you're going to be a slave to Christ. One or the other. And when you become a slave to Christ, the Word says you're no longer a slave, but a friend and a brother and an heir to the promise. And that's the choice we have. We can choose to either be slaves to sin or a brother to Christ. Well, hey, we're out of time. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, morning.
Yeah, still morning here. So,
you look at the focus though that's going on right now. It's about Islam. They're shoving Islam down the throat of everybody. And if it was an Islamic class, there would be no opposition. You know, trying to bring it into the schools. It's all about spiritual warfare. But you can see that the Judaism thing is really not being pursued anymore as far as pushing it on the people. It's more Islamic, and I think that has to do with because that's tied to Catholicism and the Jesuits, and hopefully what I have tomorrow will tie some of that together.
Well, we invite you tomorrow. You heard John talking about it. Come to church with us on Sunday morning, and you don't have to drive all the way out to LaPorte. You can just join us at our website, scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. I'll give you time out there on the East Coast to get up and get around a little bit and get your coffee drink before church starts. But we do invite you there, and bring your Bible and a notepad, and there'll be a time of fellowship and learning, chance to sing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, get an opportunity to partake of communion, remember the price that he paid, and I guarantee you, you'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message there. Well, thanks for joining us, and guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.